Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the 5 Million Milestone podcast, where we share stories from our experience growing Pronto Marketing to a 5 million annual revenue company. But this is mostly a place where we share the stories, lessons, and learnings of our incredible guests who have very diverse business backgrounds. And our goal is to share those stories to help you avoid the mistakes that 99% of companies looking to scale to $5 million and beyond usually make. So you can be among the top 1% of companies that get to achieve this milestone. And for today's episode, I haven't scripted too much. I'm trying my best to learn how to host a podcast with Pierre, my co-host here. And I would say this is all kind of new to us. So we're still a bit of a work in progress, but I'm sure we'll get better with each new episode. And today's guest is someone I've learned a lot from by observing him and speaking to regularly for the past few years. He's a brilliant marketing and business mind, and he's one of the founding members of Growth Connect, the strategic arm of Pronto Marketing. And in this episode, we'll be diving into his marketing philosophy, and we'll be learning what it means having internal marketing accountability for growing organizations looking to achieve $5 or more million in annual revenue. So welcome, Scott. We are excited about this conversation with you today. Do you want to share anything about yourself before we jump right into the meat of our chat today?
Sure. Well, first, thank you so much for having me, Matteo and Pierre. I thank you so much for the compliments, Matteo. I will say that we have had a lot of conversations over the years, and I've learned a tremendous amount from you as well. So I would say more so as peers, where we're learning from each other. But the introduction of myself, as you said, I am the founding member of Growth Connect. And what we are is a network of fractional CMOs that help small businesses grow and reach new levels of growth. So primarily, we work with companies that are around 2 or 3 million up to about $10 million in annual revenue. And I think where I'm relevant to your podcast here, Matteo and Pierre, is that I helped and worked with a lot of businesses of that size where they're going through each step, again, from 1 to 2, from 2 to 3, and so on, all the way up to some 7 to 10 or so million dollars a year in revenue. And I've seen a lot of challenges that people have had along those lines. And I love essentially helping, and the other fractional CMOs as well at Growth Connect, we love helping our clients reach those new heights. So I'm excited to talk about those journeys that we've seen companies go through in the episode today.
Awesome. Yeah. And maybe just jumping right into sort of my first question, and I've hinted it a little bit in my introduction. Your marketing philosophy. I guess this is still, you know, a black box. We want to try to unwrap the box and see what's inside. Can you give us an idea of what your marketing philosophy is?
Sure. I think at the core, a core belief that I have, and the reason that we decided to start Growth Connect, is that I believe marketing accountability and success have to come from within an organization. So if you have a small business, I think there can be a tendency to think that you can outsource all of your marketing and all of the accountability to a provider like Pronto or any other agency. And while I think there's huge value in outsourcing and it is a great tool to have in order to scale, I believe that you cannot have marketing live in a silo outside of the organization. There has to be some level of accountability and marketing success within the organization. Marketing has to become part of what you do as a company and part of what your whole team believes in. And so again, what we help companies do, usually in that small business space, is to build that accountability from within, build that internal function from within, and then sometimes choose agencies to help supplement that core foundation that you have within your organization.
Awesome. So yes, essentially you're trying to have at least a marketing function or a marketing leader within the company. And once that's set up, then an agency could complement what the marketing leader's strategic vision is through tactical execution from our marketing agency. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's to say it's a good relationship to have when you have people that are specialists outside of the organization and also people that really understand the business from within the organization. What you can't, I don't believe, have is just nothing, no marketing function within the organization. I understand that there are some owners, let's say, that say, you know, I'm a technical person or I'm a salesperson, but don't throw me into marketing. I do not want to touch marketing. Push that over there, have that agency take care of it. And I do believe that is a recipe for failure. I think it's completely legitimate to say if you're not good at certain things, but I do believe that every organization needs to take into account they need to have a marketing function, they need to believe in marketing, and they can't push it to the side and believe it's just it's not something they're going to do. I don't think that's an option these days.
Yeah, and Scott, if I can kind of rebound on that, and kind of go back to what you were saying earlier about sort of the different stages that kind of companies go through, you know, and I think when Pronto first started, it was really sort of a done-for-you service. And so that was kind of how everything operated on our end, and clients were happy and they were seeing results. But, you know, you can only go so far. And, you know, what we saw at Pronto over those years is, one, our clients wanted more. They wanted more customization. They wanted more ways to differentiate themselves. And, you know, if everyone's hiring a done-for-you agency, ultimately, people are going to run into the problem of all sounding and looking the same. And, you know, that was a big challenge that we had to tackle. And I think that, you know, you were a part of those people who actually worked with us at Pronto, who helped us customize and differentiate clients a bit. And then you're like, I want to go a step even further. I don't want to just be working with, you know, 10 or 100 of clients. I want to be really kind of immersed within those companies. And I think, you know, just try to emphasize that difference of kind of what you do versus what we do. And kind of when you talked about creating that sort of network of fractional CMOs, you know, you are working in the business. You're not working outside of it.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I couldn't agree with you more. I loved your example of when you have a done for you service. There's nothing wrong with having a done for you service. There are things that you need to get done that it doesn't make sense to hire someone to do. I mean, think of something like some SEO things, Google My Business, some of these things that every company needs. Sometimes it makes sense to say, hey, let's package that up and let's provide that to a lot of companies. And it's something they wouldn't otherwise be able to do in-house nearly as efficiently or as cost effectively, right? And so that makes sense. However, you can sometimes hit a challenge when you're getting into blog articles, content, webinars, some other things that are really important to have. Well, actually, here is a very simple example, done-for-you videos. I've seen in certain industries I've worked with where they have these done-for-you videos. Oh, we'll get a video for your homepage. It'll be great. It'll be no effort for you. We'll just add your script and put it on your homepage. It'll be fantastic. Well, again, I've looked at the data behind those done-for-you videos that don't require much involvement or much inspiration or differentiation from within the company. And you end up with a super templated video that no one watches, no one plays. And guess what? You know, a company might have paid for that, but I don't think they're getting an ROI from that, even if it just cost $100, right? Because no one's watching it. So it's so important. Video might be important, but video that's super templated and doesn't help you stand out and doesn't actually provide your key differentiators, why even do it, right? And that's where I think it's so important that you go beyond just the done-for-you style of marketing that might have worked when no one had videos on their websites before. Might have worked back when no one even had websites. But as soon as now things are getting more competitive, if everyone has websites and everyone has a basic video on their website, you do actually have to go to the next level there and find a way to stand apart. And you're not going to do that if you don't take some of that marketing accountability with it.
Yeah, and what we were preparing for this podcast, we were looking at one of your recent articles that you wrote and published. And it was all about the principal and agent problem and kind of looking really at what's the problem with hiring an agency, and where you argue that in most cases, there's a mismatch of expectations between what the principal or the client essentially is expecting from the agency. So can you explain a little bit more about, you know, where do you see this problem happening the most, and what companies should be looking for when they're hiring a marketing agency, during the vetting process? And because by any means, you're not saying agencies are all bad, don't hire one ever, right? So like, can you kind of explain a bit more about that?
Yeah, well, first, I'm sure others have heard of the principal agent problem. It's most oftenly referenced when you're thinking about, let's say you have a real estate agent, right? And you're trying to sell your house. And the real estate agent is the agent in this scenario, and you're the client. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to get you the most money for the house that you're selling. And so your incentives are aligned in that case, right? The more money you're able to sell the house for, the more commission they get, and the higher value you get or the payout you get when you sell the house. Now, with the principal agent problem, the problem is there are some scenarios where the incentives aren't directly aligned. So in that scenario, what you have is if maybe that agent, maybe that real estate agent can get you an extra $100,000, but it takes 3 more months to close, that might be worth it for you as the seller, but it's not worth it for them because it's only a little bit extra commission. And so the reason I'm sharing that scenario is because the goal of the agent or the agency and the client are mostly aligned. They're 80 or 90% aligned, maybe even 95% aligned, but there are things along the edges that aren't 100%, right? That make it not 100% aligned. And that's similar to what I'd say with an agency. I think an agency, especially like Pronto, which I've obviously been involved in and more deeply involved in the past, I think that the intention is very good. And in fact, I know through the leadership of the company, you know, everyone does care about clients a lot, right? And there are situations where Pronto pushes clients away that they can't help, or you sometimes sever relationships that aren't just going to work out, right? You're not just doing a money or cash grab and saying, I don't care if I get results for your clients. You want results for your clients. You want referrals. You want clients that are going to spend more over time because they've had success. So again, that's where there's that huge alignment. But where's the case where it's not 100% aligned? That finally getting to my point here. I would say, well, no matter how good an agency is, and no matter how well-intentioned they are, you as a client are one of, not one of one, maybe you're one of 10, maybe you're one of 100, maybe you're one of 1,000, depending on the agency you're working with. If you're working with an account manager, of that account manager's clients, you're maybe one of 10, one of 15, one of 20. And the reality is that no one in that agency or in that organization is 100% focused on you. That's just the reality. It's math. It's you're getting a percentage of allocation. You're getting a percentage of focus. And that's where I'm saying an agency or an account manager will try to do the best they can, but it's not the end of the world to them if they lose one of their 10 clients or one of their 50 clients or one of their 100 clients, meaning that they can't stay up late at night dreaming about your marketing plan. And that's where I think that as a client, as a business owner, you have to be realistic about that and say, yes, my agency cares about me. Yes, my account manager cares about me, but they are not dreaming up new, amazing ideas, every night and just itching to get that idea to me. Because guess what? They're balancing the needs of several other clients. And only you are going to be the one, or maybe your marketing director or, internal hires, only they're going to be the ones that are thinking 100% of the time about their company. And in fact, I would actually argue it's only as an owner that you're spending 100% of your time. Even your employees are maybe spending 80 or 90% of their working day thinking about your business, right? And an agency maybe a little bit less because of how many clients they're balancing. Is that fair? Does that make sense to you guys or from the agency perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you touched upon it a little bit already. It was that, essentially an agency will often prioritize execution, right? And that's where there's a tremendous value add is their ability to get things done. And I think, as an agency ourselves, we're definitely an execution first company. And there are things that we do and there are things that we don't do. So for example, we do SEO channel specific, strategy, right? Because SEO is a big part of what we execute campaigns on. And so we want to make sure there's the right SEO strategy. But we do draw a clear line on, we're not going to do a holistic marketing strategy for you, right? Because you know your business better than anyone else. You know your clients better than anyone else. And to really go deep on that, you need to kind of really invest time within your company and your salespeople and your service delivery people, if you're that big already, to kind of get the best information. And it's just a different workflow. I think execution versus kind of sort of deeper strategy and messaging differentiation is probably kind of where I would sort of put sort of that big emphasis on. And to kind of even go a step further, I would say at Pronto, we more than welcome actually working with other agencies that do other work, or actually even more working with fractional CMOs or marketing consultant who help our clients do that big picture strategy or kind of even kind of really detailed messaging. And then we come in and help out as one of the partners to do the execution.
Yeah, absolutely. And sorry, I want to add one more point to this. Is it, what you said got me thinking is that you asked the question, Mateo, you asked the question, what do you look for when you are finding an agency, right? And I think it's number one, let me just say that a great thing about an agency is you mentioned the getting things done, Pierre. It's that sometimes even the internal operations aren't as good as getting things done as an agency is. So this is where there's pluses and minuses of both. I think you need the yin and the yang. I think you need both. But when it comes to getting things done, I would say an agency is typically better at that. Right? Because it's like, I'm going to get the SEO thing done. I'm going to get the backlinks built. I'm going to get the new page created. I'm going to get it done by XYZ date or whatever. And that sometimes is really great. And agencies can sometimes do that way better. Now, when you're working with an agency, I think it's really important to, again, ask those questions. What are the KPIs that they're measuring success against? What are, how do they hold their team members accountable? Things like that. But also, I would say the biggest thing is, what do they say they can't do? Right? Because I think there are some agencies out there that will say, we do everything and we do everything perfectly and we do everything great. And they don't say the things that you just said, Pierre, there, which was like, we have our limits. And the ones that say they don't have limits or don't mention that they have limits, I'd be less trusting of them, to be honest, because not a, like an agency can't do everything. They can't be the expert at ads and SEO and, you know, and TikTok, right? I mean, it's just not very realistic that they're going to be the best at everything. So that's a little bit of a red flag for me if they're trying to be the, or pretending to be the best at everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I agree on all counts. I agree that at the end of the day, there is specialization even within the limitations an agency or a company can have. And even a consultant is sort of limited within the specialization they have, right? You are specialized in drawing and creating a strategy for clients. And you wouldn't be suited to run tactical campaigns like SEO campaigns just as well as an agency would do. Scott, in the same article, you suggest a solution to this. And you've hinted about it before. And that is basically the concept of a minimum viable marketing team. I guess I'd be curious to know from you what a minimum viable marketing team is. Who are the people that are part of this team? And what should an SMB looking to assemble one look for when thinking about this minimum viable marketing team?
Ah, it's a really great question. Let me start by emphasizing that building a team can sound daunting. Like, let's say that you're a $2 million business today and you're thinking, oh, I can't afford a marketing team. There's no way. And I think the first thing I'd say is anything I'm going to say after this, it's about a process. It's not about all at once. It's not saying hire 5 people, hire 10 people, hope for the best. In fact, it's having this incremental process and trying to get your hires done in an order where they're paying for themselves every step of the way. Now, I'm also going to say that this is not the perfect path for every single company. I do think every company is unique. What I'm kind of laying out is what I've seen works best for most small businesses that I've worked with, okay? Now, what is the minimum viable marketing team? I think it starts with a marketing leader. Now, I'm of course biased in that because I come across as, or my kind of main focus is being a strategic leader for companies. But I do believe it's really important to have a marketing leader who has, I guess, a high enough level within the organization that they're respected by other team members and respected by the rest of the leadership team in the company. So if you're going to hire first like a lower level marketing person, they're going to be that marketing person. Whereas if they are a level that the same as your other, let's say, directors or C-suite or whatever you have currently, and they're joining in as a leader, you know, now marketing is being taken seriously, right? They're a peer to everyone else. So I believe that's one of the reasons it's critical to start with a leader. Secondarily, it's just because the leader is going to be the one that's going to be thinking more long-term and vision-oriented. So if you don't have that, again, I think you're going to get into react mode. So I'll try to be brief with this, but first is a marketing leader. That could be a marketing director, that could be a CMO, or that could be a fractional CMO if you can't afford a full-time position right away for that, okay? Now then after that, something shortly after, if not around the same time, I'd expect that marketing leader to hire a marketing coordinator, or could be referred to as a marketing technician. But that is going to be the person who is, I hate to say lower level, but they're kind of, they're more execution focused, and they are the person that's getting the stuff done day in and day out, okay? And think about your CRM, think about your newsletter, think about tickets you might be sending to your agency to have pages updated, right? This is the person that's doing all those things day in and day out. So you have a marketing leader, You have someone that's reporting to that marketing leader called like a marketing coordinator most typically. They're kind of a generalist because they're doing a bunch of little things, but they're things that an agency can't do. I use the term CRM in this, right? So if you have a customer relationship or client relationship management tool, you can't say, hey, agency, go in and log into my CRM and tag all my leads appropriately. That's not realistic, but a marketing coordinator can do that. Okay, so you have those. And then I would say those are your first two hires, to be honest, okay? And it's a little bit weird to have a leader and then one person behind them. But shortly thereafter, I would say you want a content manager. And the content manager is the person who they might be responsible for doing writing. They might be responsible for planning webinars. They might be video scripts, right? But it's that more creative person that is ideally good at writing, okay? And that is what I consider the minimum viable marketing team. Leader, basically left brain person, right brain person, right? And that's a nice trifecta team that you got there. And then I can go on to more about what happens after that, but then you're getting more into specialist roles. And again, as the team grows, you might say, you know what? We need a person to 100% focus on the CRM or a person to 100% focus on advertisements. But the nice thing about, like I said, leveraging agencies and freelancers is that so long as you have those three key team members, you can sometimes supplement that with freelancers and agencies and get away with that for a while until you eventually may need to expand the team further. But that's keeping your cost relatively low and allowing you to slowly scale over time and grow the team only as needed.
And there's actually a lot to unpack here. You said, you know, it's a staggered approach. It's not all at once. So you start with a marketing leader. I would like to know from you, what does this marketing leader actually do on a daily basis once they start? And what happens until the marketing coordinator gets hired? Who does the actual execution? Is the marketing leader doing part of it, or is the marketing leader outsourcing and, you know, overseeing the work that someone else, maybe a vendor or an agency or a freelancer does?
Yeah, so it's a great one. And great question. I would say that what is the marketing leader doing when they're first onboarding? Well, it's a little bit different if you're hiring like a fractional CMO like myself, or if you're hiring a full-time hire, but I would say it's 80% the same. And you got to think, let's say that you hire a marketing director. What are they doing their first 30 days? Now, if you're saying the first 30 days, I'm putting them in a seat, I'm telling them to send out my newsletter, I'm doing all this, right? Then that I'd say you're probably not thinking of a marketing leader in the right way. Because there you're essentially saying, I want a really quality person, and then I also want them to do all the stuff I tell them to do. And so instead, what I'd say to focus on is that leader, their first month or so, I think they're absorbing. I think you have to be honest, it takes time. And so for a first month, whether you're hiring a marketing director or a fractional, their whole job is to better understand the business. Now, in my case, as a fractional, what I like to do in the first month is I like to interview all the leaders in the company. So that is your head of HR, that is your head of support, that is whatever it is within your organization, but it's interviewing all those people, it's asking them the questions, what's worked well, what hasn't. Now, what I found is a lot of times with the owner, if I'm just talking to one person in the organization, I'm getting one view, but I need the full view. In which case, I do want to know from multiple people what they're seeing, what they believe, and then I can get a full picture of it. How can I possibly execute and get results if I don't know what's happened in the past, what's worked, and what all the opinions are of leaders in the organization, or not even necessarily leaders, but other people that have been doing marketing within the organization, if that's the case. So I think that's really important in the first month. I also think understanding the client is very important in the first month. So I also like interviews with very memorable clients. So clients that maybe have close partnerships, give referrals, all these other things. Think of those high tier clients, talk to them. And I like to understand them. And really what that's allowing me to do is understanding where the true differentiators are within that organization, which is going to help to develop a marketing strategy and plan that is going to leverage what the company's good at. Because like I said, I'm coming from a new perspective and some things I'm not going to know right away, but some things I'm going to learn that maybe the owner doesn't even see themselves, okay? And so it's just because I'm coming in with a new pair of glasses or whatever you want to call it. So that's the first month. And to be honest, hey, look, what results am I getting in the first month? My newsletter's not getting sent out in the first month? No, it's not. It's an absorbing time and it's when you're learning. That's at that. By month two, I think it's important that a plan is starting to be developed. So it's to say, what is our messaging? What is our differentiation? Who are our true competitors? What are some of these analytics that we're maybe doing in the first month a bit? By month two, it's thinking through, how can we start to turn this into an actual strategy? Okay. And there are tangible parts of this. It's not just strategy in your head. It's like, literally, this is the phrase we can use for this. This is how we can target this audience. This is that. It's getting into developing a very comprehensive plan. I'm not going to get into the details of how I do that. There are many, many, many elements of that, more than you would imagine. Usually what I get is a surprise where people say, oh my gosh, I never thought to do that. Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I definitely don't have that. And they think they have strategy because they say, oh, I'm better in all these ways, or I have 10 times more experience than my competitors, but they haven't actually developed a strategy. They haven't actually developed and gotten very narrow with who their target market is. And so that's what I think that second month is for. And then the third month is that you're beginning to execute and you're beginning to say, cool, let's launch the first newsletter, or let's, you know, start writing the first blog post. There's a level of execution happening in that third month. But I also think the third month is for the hire. So if there's not an internal marketing, like more junior marketing coordinator type individual in the organization, that's where by month two to month three, it's that job posting is out and it's interviewing. Because it's not reasonable for that leader to be leading and then not have someone that's reporting to them if they're not in the organization already. And so that's where it's a hiring thing. So by month three, execution starting to happen, the team is starting to grow, you're starting to get your legs a little bit and starting to roll with stuff. Because I know, you know, you don't want to hire someone and say, oh, maybe I'll get results 3 years from now. You want to start getting results as quickly as possible. And I just want, like, to be realistic and say, it's not going to be day one. You got to be honest about that. You got to, you know, I'm not going to deliver, you know, a message that sounds great, but isn't realistic. I think by month two or month three is where the activity starts to happen.
And Scott, I think you started talking a little bit about some of the skills that, you know, that leader you're looking to hire has, right? I think they're focused on doing strategic planning, strategic work and planning, obviously interviewing different team members, so they've got to be comfortable talking to a wide variety of different people, whether it's HR, sales, especially service, kind of know what kind of questions to ask them. I think you also talked about, you know, analytics and kind of looking at what does the data tell you. So I would imagine, you know, someone of an analytical mind. But what are the other skills that you're looking, you know, is it at the end of the day, are you looking at a specialist, a generalist, what kind of blend?
For the leader, and like I said, that could be a fractional, it doesn't have to be fractional. Sometimes I talk to clients or prospects that are considering a fractional. And if they tell me their demands are way up here, then it actually makes more sense to hire a marketing director than a fractional. Maybe they do need to invest in that sooner than they thought. But to answer your question, what are you looking for in that person? I do think it depends on the business. But again, from my experience, I lean towards, it is a bit of a generalist, to be honest. I think a leader in an organization is a bit of a generalist. They know enough about SEO. They know enough about copywriting. They know enough about advertising. But they're not perfect at all those things. They know what they don't know. Again, I've worked with Mateo. I know Mateo, your background is in SEO. As you alluded to at the beginning, you know, I'm not the best at SEO. I know about SEO. I know how to ask good questions about SEO. I know how to maybe bring ideas and understand what's realistic in terms of SEO. But guess what? I'm not the best SEO person in the world. I know how to hire the best SEO person, right? And so I think it's important that, to answer your question, Pierre, I think it's important to have someone that knows enough, that has been involved maybe in the past of some SEO things, some writing things, right? So they've gotten their hands dirty, as the saying goes, right? But they're also not just that doer that is putting on the resume, I'm a leader, trust me, right? Because if they haven't led a team, I don't believe they're necessarily set up for that role. And what they'll more typically get into is they'll get into their comfort zone and they'll be doing the newsletter. And guess what? As an owner, you'll be like, man, what am I paying this person, you know, X amount of money for if they're just doing this stuff and they're not leading strategically and pushing back on stuff or whatever? You're going to be disappointed with that. So I think you need a leader that is willing to get their hands dirty, but not too dirty. Otherwise, they're not going to do the strategic work they need to do. And they're not going to make the decisions they need to make. And they're not going to be able to hire the people they need to hire because they're just trying to be loved by everyone. And then in the reality, the results are going to be underwhelming.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Scott, I think what we are talking about now sounds a lot like an ideal picture of what you would want a company to go through, the process to want a company to go through. But we all know probably this isn't always the case. I've come across a study that says that about 50% of business owners do their marketing on their own, even though maybe their companies has already passed the 1 million annual revenue mark, and even beyond, they continue doing marketing and maybe other functions within the company. I guess my question is, how do you see this type of hands-on approach specifically related to marketing? What type of impact do you usually see, you know, this hands-on approach having on the outcome of the marketing activities that business owners may execute themselves? But also, like, when it comes to maybe hiring someone, they hire their first marketing leader, but they're still having a lot of opinions about how marketing should be done. So what's your take on this?
Yeah, so first let me just say that if a company has reached $1 million, they've done some things right, right? And I think that oftentimes the most successful businesses are successful and reach the 1 million or 2 million or 3 million because they're really smart. They've taken into account that marketing is important. And maybe the owner is quite savvy in marketing and is quite capable. Maybe they are very good at business development and a little bit of marketing, and they figured out how to get it all done. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made it to the point they're at. So I really want to say that it's not a matter of a leader or owner not doing a good enough job. It's actually more of once they've done that and once they've reached that new level. And again, maybe that's 3 million, whatever, right? But once they've reached that level, they, I do believe, need to make a transition. Make a transition from being the owner, the leader, the person that's staying up at night, sleeping on the couch of the business, making it all work for the last 20 years, right? Making that transition to and hiring a bunch of people that are working under them, doing what they're told, right? And following that vision, which is all very healthy and very legit, you know, realistic. But then making that step to, now I need to hire someone who is specialized. Mm-hmm. And that's a very tough transition to make. And it's because you have to take a little bit of a leap of faith. It's because you have to be very careful about who you hire. It's because the person you hire might not actually be the best hire. You might actually run into issues. There are a lot of things that can happen when you're making that handoff. But I would say, as much as that's a challenging, very challenging transition to make from you're the owner that's making all the decisions to now you are making the decision to hire someone else that makes decisions. Okay. And that's such a tough transition. And yeah, I mean, I empathize with it and I understand it. But I think if you think through the companies that you respect and you look up to and say, oh my gosh, they're so great at it, you have to ask how many of those companies have never hired a marketing leader in the organization and got to the area. So I think that it's very unlikely. I mean, you can use examples like Tesla and say, oh, they don't do any marketing. They haven't, right? You can look at some companies and say they don't do marketing. Realistically, they absolutely do have. So they're either master marketers themselves and spend most of their time doing that, or they have hired other people that are there to support them that they're trusting to do some things. And so if that's the case, now it's just a matter of, if you believe that, and you don't have to take my word at it, but if you believe that those very successful businesses have taken marketing seriously and have hired higher level people to do marketing for them, right? Then the question becomes, how do you make that transition? And how do you get through it as tough as it is? You want to get to the other side, right? So commit to say you're going to get to the other side one way or another, knowing it might be painful. But I don't know if that answers your question, Mateo, but I would say it's hard to let go for all of us. And mm-hmm. I'd also emphasize, you don't have to let go 100%, because here's the thing. If you're hiring, let's say, a marketing director, CMO, whatever, you're going to be letting go, you should be letting go of some of the decision-making of what's happening in the marketing. But you don't have to let go of the fact that you might control how much budget that person gets. So if you say that marketing leader is going to get 10% of our annual revenue is going to be allocated to marketing, which is pretty typical, right? 10, 15%. It depends on how fast you're trying to grow. Unfortunately, sometimes I find that, you know, the expectation is very low. It's like, oh, we're going to put 1% of our revenue a year towards marketing. That's not realistic. You're setting that person up to fail. But my point is that when you hire the person and you do come in with a realistic budget expectation and you say, I'm going to give them 10% of my revenue. Now that leader is accountable to what you said. You've said what your vision is. You said where you're trying to go. You said what's making you different in the core values of your business. And you've said what budget you have to work with, right? And so you do still have control over your organization. You do still have control. It's just you got to let go of a part of that decision-making power of the marketing.
And Scott, you mentioned something that resonated with me, which, you know, a lot of those businesses have gotten to that $1 million mark or beyond, even because the owner was super involved, right? And essentially, the owner was the thought leader of the company and putting himself or herself out there in the marketplace, speaking to customers, selling, you know, speaking at conferences, speaking on podcasts, and so being that face of the company. Now, when you hire a marketing person, I think maybe this is also a bit of a misconception. There's this belief as well that the marketer is actually going to be taking all of that away. Hmm. And I think, you know, maybe that's something you can kind of talk a little bit about is, you know, what happens from a thought leadership point of view, what is the role of the owner once that new marketer come in? And how does maybe you stay involved and maybe how other people get involved?
Oh, I love that, Pierre. You absolutely hit on a great point, is that I was saying you should give and hire a person that you're holding accountable to being a leader rather than trying to remain a leader. However, that also doesn't mean that you're in no way involved in marketing. Okay. So I hit on one other point I forgot to mention. An owner and a leader needs to emphasize the importance of marketing to the rest of the organization. Let's say a marketing director is going to the head of support and saying, you need to take marketing more seriously, try to add this to your signature line, this and that, right? If they were to operate that way, people are going to, that's a side note. That's something they might eventually get to. They're not going to care. But if at every quarterly meeting, the owners are going up and saying, this is what our marketing team is doing. This is why it's important. We love your involvement in it, right? And they're pushing and saying, marketing is part of our company culture. That's fantastic to come from the owner. And in fact, you're setting your director, whoever else, or just let's say you just have one internal marketer, you're setting them up for failure if you're not emphasizing the importance of marketing to the whole organization. Okay. So that's where I'd say the owner absolutely has to do that. So that's one marketing hat they still are going to wear, right? Which is showing the importance of it. And then the other hat, which I love that you pointed out, Pierre, is the thought leadership piece. Because guess what? If you're a good marketer or a good marketing leader, that doesn't mean you're the most, you know, let's say you're a technology company. It's like, that doesn't mean you're also a subject matter expert on AI or on these other things, right? So you need to say, look, if the owner of the organization knows a lot of this stuff, what is the director doing? What is that fractional CMO doing? They are helping determine where the time is best spent. You know, should it be a podcast? Should it be an in-person event? Should it be webinars? Should it be this and that? They're helping develop that. They're maybe helping develop the ideas of content that could be that, right? But they're not necessarily the person that's on stage presenting some of those concepts if there are other experts within the organization that should be doing that. So that's, again, where the expertise in the business align with marketing, and it's one and the same. It's the marketers helping facilitate that process, helping prioritize what's going to have the biggest ROI when it comes to the marketing efforts. But then it's getting all the team members, including the owners, involved in getting up on stage, in publishing things on LinkedIn from not just, here's this blog article. No, I mean properly engaging on LinkedIn and showing some thought leadership. That's going to still be a part of the marketing piece that owners and leaders within the organization need to be involved with.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, Mateo.
I totally agree with what you're saying. I mean, ultimately, it's a joint effort between the marketing leader and the owner of the company. I guess what probably the owner of the company will need to learn to do earlier rather than later is more about trusting the marketing leader's vision, and then just having this, you know, conversations about how to best leverage the owner's experience and expertise to make the story and the narrative of the company shine through the marketing initiatives that the leaders will eventually come up. Scott, is there anything about outsourcing marketing success and internal marketing accountability that we haven't talked about that you think it's really important to close on?
Sure. I would say, you know, I emphasized a lot about having at least a team member. You know, as I said, probably three team members inside the organization is great, if possible. Okay. But then what is the place of an agency? We talked about how an agency can be very, very helpful in execution, getting things done on time, you know, being an expert in certain areas. Another thing I would think about of how I like to leverage agencies is specialization that I don't have. Right. So let's say that I'm working with a company where TikTok is the best medium to work in. Right. Now, I don't actually have a TikTok account. I never have, you know, but I don't know. Like in some cases, depending on your target market, TikTok might be the best place to be. Now, I'm not going to lead the TikTok strategy. Right. So realistically, what I need to do is help find an agency that is really good at TikTok. Now, I don't want to work with an agency that is dabbling in TikTok. I want to hire the best. And this is where I think some companies struggle is they sometimes try to find an agency based off cost. And while cost is important, when I look and vet agencies for certain specializations, as I said, I like to say, who is the specialist? Who is the best at this? Who is the best company that I can hire in this area? And instead of saying, look how costly it is, instead be thinking, okay, I'm going to learn way faster if I hire this company that's really good at it day one. And not only that, I'm going to try to learn from them. Now, I'm not the first one to say this. If anyone who follows like Alex Hormozi or some of these other marketers will say the same thing, but I couldn't agree more with some of these things. It's that hire the best person for the job, knowing that you're going to spend more upfront, but knowing that you're going to get there faster. And additionally, what I'd also consider, and this is, you know, it doesn't always make sense, but I would also be thinking about maybe what you're hiring the agency for, you might want to bring internal. It's not for everything. Like I wouldn't say you need to bring your website page updates internal or some other things. Don't always necessarily need to be internal. But for some things that you're hiring an agency for, you've learned a ton from the agency over the period of 3, 6 months, a year. Eventually, you might want to say, maybe I'm going to bring an internal hire on board that's going to take all those lessons that we learned from that agency and bring it in-house. So does it make sense every time? But think of it more as lessons you can learn and how you can learn quicker to hire a more competent agency that's able to do that for you. And sorry, last thing, this comes down to vetting agencies. Pronto, I know, is a company that is very transparent. It's not the type of company that's going to say, we'll take care of SEO for you. Just trust us, right? And then you ask them questions and they're kind of like, you know, aren't going to share, right? Instead, I think there's a lot of transparency there. I think that's really critical because otherwise you're not going to learn any of the lessons. And if you lose the agency, if the agency goes out of business, whatever, all that time, all that effort is lost. So instead, work with companies that are transparent, are going to share the life lessons, are going to share the things that they're learning, are going to say, yeah, you have access to the account. This is how we optimize it, right? Then your internal team can learn over time and you're not 100% reliant on an agency, the following years.
I love it. Cost opportunity and transparency. Ultimately, it's really interesting how, you know, you would never think about going cheap on a heart surgery, but somehow businesses think about going cheap on marketing and marketing strategy, because it's something that they think, or some people think, we can learn and do ourselves, but really you need an expert. If you want to try to get the best you can, learn from them, and then potentially you can think about going on your own. Thank you again, Scott. It was really good having you on the show today. Until next time, I guess, and really appreciate you coming on. And to our listeners, make sure to check out Growth Connect at growthconnect.io and make sure to tune in to our next episode soon. This is Matteo and Pierre with Scott. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.